morning, Chairperson, Deputy Chairperson, members of the Portfolio Committee, officials, AC, all protocol observers. Excuse me, Samia, the seat.
People come and hover here.
Yeah,
it must have been a fancy thing, huh?
Not really. Oh,
I couldn't imagine you've been a big person.
I am actually a nice fat person. I'm less sophisticated when it comes to that.
You know when your girlfriend is really stressing, they give you pins, huh?
No, they do.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chairperson. I apologize for the introduction there. We'll be ready in a minute. I'm Rashida Ito. I'm acting CEO of the NGA. This is Ruben Mahano. He's the executive director for projects. I have with me other acting CFO, Sully, and also our deputy chairperson, Marsha Manon. At the back, we also have our communication executive and also the provincial manager for Western Cape. Thank you, Chairperson. We're going to split our presentation in three. Chairperson, I'll start with the introduction. Ruben will continue with the, Ruben will continue on the projects, and then the acting CFO will continue on the finances. As you know, Chairperson, the National Development Agency is a Schedule 3A entity and reports to the Department of Social Development. We receive our transfer from vote 16 and not 17 as indicated in the presentation. Our vision, Chairperson, is to develop a society free from poverty, our mission to contribute to poverty eradication and the elimination of its poverty. Our central offices are in Johannesburg. We have offices allocated in all 9 provinces. So that's here. I'll continue with our primary mandate is to contribute towards the eradication of via grant funding to civil society organizations. We do this by eliminating or implementing development projects. Just about these projects, Chairperson, we started in the year 2000, the NGA, and thus far we have distributed 700 million rand to communities. And these projects that is implemented and approved by the board is across the different sectors, Chairperson, which includes the economic development, food security, community health sector, and education. So we do more than implementing projects, we also strengthen civil society capacity. Our secondary mandate is to promote consultation, dialogue, and sharing of information between civil society organizations and the government. We also do undertake research, and our aim there is to provide and give feedback into policy, Chairperson. Thus far, we have affected and we have made an impact to 417,000 direct households, Chairperson, and Direct indirect beneficiaries, 2,264 people have directly benefited from our project. I'm going to give over to Ruben now, and he's going to speak more about the project chairperson and also some of our key projects we currently have on our system. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. You should be able to pick up the presentation from your slides in a moment. I think the biggest question always, Chair, is what are we buying with the kind of resources that we are giving to the NDA? And as the CEO has just indicated, what we are buying with the annual appropriation from National Treasury is self-reliant communities. And self-reliant communities through the kind of community enterprises that we support. We currently have 320 community enterprises, and these community enterprises focus on the areas of poultry farming, red meat production, piggery, vegetable farming, beef farming, citrus production. We also have an aspect of tourism, manufacturing and textile, capacity building, and early childhood development. Chair, in June when we addressed the Portfolio Committee Strategic Planning Session, I spoke about this particular project, Winterfell Citrus Project, which is in the Northwest Province, and I reported at that time that this is a project that was initiated by Dr. Semo Tsuenyane, and that this project is currently produces at least 72 tons of oranges annually, and that already they have secured markets with the Magaliesberg market and Pick n Pay already. But the reason why I'm highlighting this project in particular, Chairperson, is that this is the kind of intervention that we are talking about in communities. We are not talking small plots where you have spinach that is only for subsistence. We are talking about sustainable commercial enterprises that are supposed to create jobs and income streams for households in communities. I also referred to this particular project, Chair, which we call Ujima Cooperative, which is situated in the West Bank in Johannesburg. This project, Chairperson, has now a contract with the Housing Department of Social Development. They are currently producing 70,000 pairs of shoes for the department for indigenous families. The last part, Chairperson, is the Zoma Valley in the Eastern Cape. As I reported at that time, this particular project started off with just over 2 million grants from the NDA. This project is now used as an anchor livestock farming project in the Eastern Cape. The Askisa Eastern Cape has now set aside over 20 million rands to piggyback on this program as part of the Eastern Cape wide livestock farming program. The reason why I'm mentioning this project, Chair, including the one that I spoke to you about in June, I encourage the Chair to visit this project in Venter Sorten. I hope I'm pronouncing it properly, in the Northern Cape. It's about 65 kilometers from Kimberley. This project, and I use the word project and community enterprises interchangeably. I prefer community enterprises because projects have a certain connotation. This community enterprise currently produces 6,000 cucumbers in the Northern Cape. These cucumbers are then bought by Freshmark, which is a huge distribution outfit in the Northern Cape. And they are able at the moment to generate close to 96,000 per month. And we believe that if they expand, they should be able to generate much more than that. The target is at least 10,000 per week, 10,000 cucumbers per week. We we are accounting to Parliament Chair on the basis of the strategic goals that we have. The strategic goal that we had in our FED plan, the first goal was to establish and promote partnerships to leverage funds and capabilities. The second goal was to facilitate research that informs grant funding decisions and policy. And the last goal was to build and sustain organizational capabilities. I'll speak briefly to the achievements in respect of each goal. The first strategic goal is to establish and promote partnerships to leverage funds and capabilities. And specific achievements include the fact that we have been able to commit funding to income generation and food security projects in accordance with provincial and federal allocations. In the financial year, Chair, we have been able to commit funding to 59 projects amounting to 85.8 million, and that we have been able to discharge our monitoring obligations in accordance with our standard operating procedures for grant making. We also reported, Chair, last year that we had committed 25.7 million to civil society organizations. We called this CSO strengthening program. Out of that CSO strengthening program, we've been able to strengthen 643 CSOs. I'm using CSOs broadly speaking. These include cooperatives, faith-based organizations, CBOs, and conventional NGOs. And through this program, we've been able to interact with 9,645 individuals. The reason I'm mentioning these figures, Chair, is to highlight the kind of output that we have. And I'm mindful of the fact that the figures themselves don't tell the whole story. The whole story must be told in the fact that jobs have been created, income has been generated for households, social cohesion has been strengthened, and a whole range of other factors that make communities sustainable, because that's the business that we are in. We are not a grant funding organization. We are a development organization. In respect of research chairperson, we have been able to undertake profiling of different municipalities in order to inform our funding priorities and targeting. I reported, Chair, in June that we were going to embark on an initiative of posting our flagship projects on our website. So if we do go to our website now, you will be able to find summaries of our flagship projects. As part of our stakeholder relations management function, we have built in a portfolio where we are encouraging our key stakeholders to give us feedback on the kind of work that we do. And if you go to our website, you would also be able to do that. And as you may have noticed over the past few months, Chairperson, NGO projects have been profiled in various publications, including the Million Guardian last week, the Farahanam project that I've just presented, Investing in the Future Million Guardian. There is a project there called Kromele Kusasa from Limpopo that also won an award. And there are many projects that have won awards, Community Sorting, Community Builder of the Year, and so on and so on. In relation to research and policy, we have concluded a study on the state of civil society organizations in South Africa. We have also compiled a database of CSOs in all 9 provinces, and this database is available on our website. The question that the Chair may ask is, how does this interact with the database that the department has? We are working on that already. We have completed impact studies for projects that have been closed in the 9 provinces, and that as part of us being a platform for creating dialogue, we have organized dialogues and seminars in provinces in partnership with other stakeholders such as Sangoko and the rest. And Chair, we have given you previously the copies of our newsletters which really explain what we do. Our key focus moving forward is on building and sustaining organizational capabilities and excellence, and this is about realigning our organizational resources. is assessing our risk in compliance with legislation. It's looking at our fraud prevention and whistleblowing capabilities. It's also ensuring that we have contracts, given the fact that there were issues raised around procurement, that we are realistic to the issues of complying with our procurement policies. And as the CEO reported at some point, Chairperson, we are pleased to tell you that we have an unqualified audit opinion for this financial year. We don't have three projects on our data freeze. The only reason why we highlighted these three projects is because I referred to at least two in the previous slides, Chairperson. I will now just ask our CFO to talk to the issues of finances. But we are also not without challenges. Our first challenge really is limited financial resources. We understand that within the context of global recession, that will continue to be an issue. But the opportunity is that we are strengthening our capability and competency for resource mobilization. The second challenge relates to the capacity of the projects that we fund, including the fact that we do have write-backs in certain instances. And the way we are dealing with it is to seriously upscale our targeted capacity building interventions. I will not go through the statistics on the kind of proposals that we get. Just to give you a demand gap, we are talking about a situation where we received lots of applications, 919 in the past 3 years. And this is only through the RFP, not through the other route, which we call program formulation. And over the past 3 years, Chairperson, we've been able to support very, very, very few projects. The issue is just not money. Give us more money, we will do more of the same. That's not the issue. The issue is, give us more money so that we can strategically apply our resources to create self-reliance in the communities that we support. That's where we are. And give us more money so that we can strengthen the institutional capacity of the institution to carry out other functions much more effectively, such as monitoring, oversight, and so on.
Chairperson, before the CSO come in, I just wanted to discuss the organogram, the questions that was raised. In our annual report, and the status did not change much, we have about 107 staff members. Of the staff members, as at the 31st of March, we had 97 full posts. We had 8 vacancies. These vacancies included about 2 or 3 frozen posts that we decided strategically we won't fill for that year. And we had 2 contract workers, which brings a total to 107 posts that we had in the NDA as at the 31st of March. The position did not change much. We do have vacancies. I will speak about the CFO's vacancies at the moment, and the Deputy Chair will speak about the CEO. Chairperson, you would notice that in the Sunday Times, the past Sunday, and in the Mail and Guardian, we had an advert for 4 positions, which include the CFO position. And with regards to the CFO position, Chairperson, his probation was not confirmed. So thus the position became vacant, and we have an acting person in that position. But I will also ask the Deputy Chairperson just to speak on the CEO.
Thank you. First, let me apologize for the Chairperson of the Board not being available, Bishop Mpulwana. He offers his apology for not being able to make today's session. And as the Deputy Chair, I'm standing in for him. As was indicated earlier, I think, by the Auditor General, we have made a recommendation on the appointment of a CEO to the Minister. And currently, we await the Honorable Minister's appointment. That's where things are regarding the CEO.
the CFO will talk to us.
Before the CFO comes in, sorry, our acting CFO, I'd like to just make another comment on an issue that was also raised by the AG, and that is whether or not the board is constituted legally at the moment. We do have a difference of opinion from the AG in terms of his interpretation of the Act, and it's in regard to positions that were filled by people who were appointed from government. And there are some people who were appointed by the previous minister who a couple of people have left their post in government, and that has become an issue of whether or not they remain on the board as government appointees, or does it mean if they're no longer employed in government, are they? We have sought a legal opinion, and the opinion has said to us that we are constituted correctly. So we have brought this matter to the attention of the department and are engaging with them on whether or not there needs to be clarity within the Act so that there cannot be varying interpretations. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Honorable members, I'm Sori Shingange, the acting CFO at the NDI. Currently in front of you, you have a summarized version of the income statement that's presented in the annual report. The NDA has received 136 million from the department in terms of transfer payment, and we have had interest of 26 million. So our total income was 166. Our expenditure totaled 198 million. And I've just highlighted the top five expenditure in terms of our performance this year. The first one being projects committed. In the current year, the NDA has committed 144 million in projects. And maybe and another issue that I would like to highlight in terms of the commitment is the deficit that one sees in our bottom line. And I'll discuss the deficit just in a few minutes. The commitment of 114 million are basically made up of projects approved by the board in the current financial year worth 85 million, plus a carryover of projects that were approved by the board in the previous financial year, where contracts were only signed off in the current financial year. And in total, the 114 million is basically made up of 79 projects that were approved. 79 projects make up the 114, which is a mixture of current projects approved by the board and a carryover of projects approved by the board in the previous year where contracts were only signed in the current financial year. The second major expenditure is project support costs. Project support cost is basically the cost of the NDA supporting the projects that we have, visiting the project, monitoring those projects. The third one, staff costs, including executive remuneration, 43 million. The increase of 13% is basically between 2008 and 9 of 13% is mainly made up of a 7% increase in the annual salaries, a payout to the former CEO of about 1.3, plus an increase in employment costs, which is your recruitment cost, which makes up the increase of 13%. The fourth major item being our consulting and professional fees of 8.7 million. The 8.7 million in that particular expenditure is, or the biggest item that makes up the 8.4 are the studies that are done by research and development, our baseline studies, due diligence for funded projects, project evaluation, which were in the region of 3.2. We had a project in HR, the HR organizational realignment process, which cost the entity about 900,000. And we had project capacity strengthening, where we give training to projects or funded projects in terms of governance, in terms of financial management, in terms of project management. That has amounted to 1.1 million. So that's basically what makes up a huge portion of the consulting fees of 8.7 million. Other expenditure, which is the bulk of the remaining expenditure as per the detailed income statement, that is basically, that has increased by 29% year on year, which is attributable to the following major items: relocation of offices, audit fees. Our operating leases have also increased by about 1.8 million, reason being that most of our leases were coming to an end. They had to be renewed, and in some cases we have moved offices. That has increased our operating leases by about 1.2 million, and our other miscellaneous costs have increased by about 2 million year on year. Okay, then nextly I would like to speak to the balance sheet. On the balance sheet, projected on your screen there, I would like to highlight two major items that make up a chunk of our balance sheet. The first one being the cash that the NDA holds. The NDA currently holds cash balances of 245 million, and we always ask the question, it looks like the NDA is cash flush. And, okay, I'd just like to give an analysis of the cash position. Of the 246 million in cash holdings, 15.2 million is cash that we're holding on behalf of the EU. We had projects that were funded by the EU. The project has come to an end, and we're in the process of renegotiating with the EU to use the 15 million to fund projects. We currently have 40.9 million, which remains from the establishment fund. When the NDA was started, we received about 100 million from the IDT to start the NDA. And of that fund, there's about 40.9 million, which funding had conditions in terms of how the funding can be used. And we have about 190.4 million that is available for use by the NDA. And of that 149 million, if one looks at our balance sheet, it's note number 19, government-funded committed projects. We currently are sitting with a project portfolio that makes up 170, that is consists of projects funded by the NDA worth 169 million. So if one takes the 190 million in cash that the NDA has for its use and deducts the 179 million in committed projects, the 179 in effect makes up the 94.5% of the cash that we're holding of 190. The reason being that when a project is approved by the NDA, it is payable within a period of 12 to 36 months. So if a project is approved in this year, it will be paid in 3 to 4 tranches, percentages ranging the first tranche being 30, 40, and the other percentages payable in the following years. The the second item, the 179 million, is basically the project portfolio that the NDA had at the end of March 2009, which is projects that are spread across all provinces, 20 million of which are projects in the Eastern Cape, 13 million in the Free State, 20.4 in Gauteng, 25 million of which is in KZN, 28 in Limpopo, 17.5 in Mpumalanga, 14 million in the Northwest, Northern Cape projects worth 14.6 million, and the Western Cape is sitting with projects worth 22.6 million.
Thank you very much for that presentation. Can we get some questions? Is there anything that you would like to add to the COO? The COO of Social Development at this stage?
No, Madam Chair. Not at this stage.
Questions, honorable members? Honourable Secretary. Let me first thank the presenters for this very comprehensive report. Mine is only 7 pages, but yes, it's a slide dealing with request for proposals over 3 years. I'm going to talk about Eastern Cape because I'm from the Eastern Cape, that the number of applications received is 89, the number of shortlisted projects, 12, the number of approved projects is 4. I see a big gap, that out of 89 applications, only 4 approved. What is it that you consider or you are looking for you to approve the project? And then from the funding, I don't know, I've missed this stage now, but reporting, it's somewhere in this book that when you report, you talk about 7 projects from Eastern Cape. I'll look for it while other people are still looking for other questions. But when I compare this number that you are reporting on, that you've approved 4, and I'm not quite sure where the page is, but I'm going to look for it. And I have other questions, Chair. Let me give other people a chance, then I'll ask them the second round, if there's a second round.
So I can allow you one more question, Honourable Member.
Thank you, Chair. The second question is, you get the money from the government, and